Okay. This is the next segment of the next Forever Group's podcast. So I think this episode, I think it'd be important to talk about establishing professional relationships with people you already have a non-professional relationship with. I know it's kind of hard to like go from being somebody's friend and being somebody's like son's friend to, okay, I'm employing you now. So you need to treat this relationship different. It's not so nonchalant. This is a professional business relationship. So, Ryan, what would you say you do, or how do you try to keep it as professional as possible between either athletes or parents?
Yeah, that's like definitely huge. One of the biggest things I'd say is, like for me, on my Instagram, I try not to post anything political, anything that's like controversial, just because like that's not what I need to waste my energy with. It's like if someone like sees, oh, okay, this is what they do, you know, and I don't want to work with them, like that's just not worth
just
it. So
like a political view.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't. I try not to share that. I that's just not me.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say is always just having the same connection, not trying to like, you know, switch things up or trying to, oh, you know, we've been working together for a while, like I don't need to be as professional. That's definitely not how it is, because I don't know, I'd say just always, so like when I was with a real estate group, I was with them, I don't know, for like a month maybe, and the first time I dressed fairly nice and I was like, you know, just trying to be very professional, and they like, that's why like I kind of sold them on that. So then I was like, okay, am I allowed to, you know, be more like laid back and casual?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't need to risk, you know, me trying to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not trying to lose a job opportunity just because like I'm trying to be more comfortable. So I definitely say just always keeping it, you know, professional and knowing that, you know, you're at the end of the day, you got a job to do versus like we're friends. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And okay. I saw this thing and it was like, if you're shooting for your friend, like they should pay even more because like they
want to support
they know you, support you. Like, why should a stranger pay you more?
I'm trying to undercut someone.
Exactly. So it's like you need to establish that if it's like for a friend situation. But then I think there's also a healthy professional relationship but also casual at the same time. I'm not really a professional type of guy, but yes, obviously with like videos,
it needs to be different than a friendship.
Exactly.
Relationship needs to be different than a friendship,
and most of my clients are like older people, like 30 and up, so it's like it's a different relationship but it's still casual, laid back, just because that's like who I am. So I think if you keep it authentic to who you are but still professional, that's like the best way to do it.
The good thing about working for yourself is you can have your brand however you want it to.
Yeah.
If you want to keep it super, super professional, you can. If you don't, you don't.
Okay.
I think it's always important to keep a semi-professional relationship with anybody you work with. I think that when kids come up to me at school and start talking to me about a sporting event, they need to understand, one, no, it's not going to be free. And two, when you talk to me about me wanting to work for you, because that's what I'll be doing, I'll be working for you, try to keep it as professional as possible. We're not going to be, you know, probably hanging out after the game, just doing all this stuff, you know. Once we work together, we work together, and I'd love to work with you again, but unless we're like super good friends before, we're probably not going to be forming that friendship anymore, because now I view you more as a client than as, oh, a potential friendship.
And, like, I think with us being kids, like, a lot of people see it as, like, yo, they love doing videos, like, I'm gonna ask them to come, like, do this and film it. And it's, like, I'm totally down for that, but it's, like, I'm not gonna become your friend, like, be a fake friend and have, like, you know, me film it and waste my time just because, you know, that's what I do is video stuff. It's, like, the reason I do video stuff is because I enjoy it, but, you know, after doing it for a while, you understand that, you know, you're worth something.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, just understanding that relationship is pretty important. I think I've gotten, my reputation has gotten a lot better, and a lot of people will, like, you know, more ask me rather than say, like, hey, come film this, because it's like, I'm a nice guy, I'm not gonna like immediately like, oh no, like this is what I do, but it's
exactly.
Like it feels a lot better when someone, you know, says, hey, this is my idea, this is what I want to do, what are your thoughts on it, versus, hey, since you're a video guy, you should come film this. I'm like, that's not necessarily how it works. Like,
yeah, the way you definitely approach me with your idea is either how I'm going to, like, think of you. If you come up, if like Ryan was saying, I'll elaborate a little more on that. If you come up to me, yo, you make videos, right? You should come out. You should come film my team. I'll be like, okay, yeah, maybe think about it. But if you're like, hey, like, me and my team would, like, love to hire you to work with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, like, sure, let's talk more about it. Let's get in more discussion. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about how you, like, approach us, too. Because if you just want to approach me like my work is worth nothing, then I don't even want to work with you.
I'd say that's the most important. It's just, so, like, obviously we, you know, do a lot of our stuff through Instagram. And so it's a tough thing because it's really...
Instagram sucks.
You have to... It's either, there's like a really fine line between either people like it or not, and so you just have to understand what people like and what people are going to watch and interact with, and so you have to, you know, when you're editing or when you're making, actually that's the biggest thing was when you even have an idea of what to do, like you got to think at the angle of like, okay, do people want this or is that like something that people are going to, you know, be like, okay,
enjoy.
That's cool, yeah. I think the biggest thing I look at is like, will that be a talk? Like, will people talk about that video? And it's like, if, you know, I'm going to post it out and like put a lot of my time into it, like, and I see it not going anywhere, like, I'm not going to do it. So I think putting like this idea before you even do anything of, okay, what's the end goal of this video going to be is like super important. And like, that, I think that helps a lot too, if it's like this creative video, like the style of the video.
Yeah. So with growth of a page, I can't really speak much on this just because I wasn't really into Instagram when it was really booming, but I think Ryan can. Mm-hmm. Your main account,
like, Voice
Resell really,
too.
Really popped
off. Oh, yeah.
Off.
So, yeah, I've had my main account for a while, but Voice Resell blew up like crazy. I think
I remember
got,
you, like,
yeah,
just shot up.
I think I had, in less than a year, I grew 3,200, like, solid followers. Like, and I think I was getting like 2,000 story views just because there's no textbook necessarily to it. There's just Instagram, if you get interactions, Instagram likes you and they make sure that they'll promote your page to people that, you know.
The same interest.
Yeah, exactly. So if I think I posted like 10 times a day on my story and I was getting, I'd say like my profile visits were like 5,000 to 6,000 profile visits a week. And so Instagram puts my, you know, username out there to places that, you know, will get followers. And it's also, I was selling shoes, so every kid likes shoes, and they want to be, you know, just see what's going on. So, like, I just get a follow. Obviously, not that many people are buying, not 3,200 people are buying the shoes, but they just want to be a part of, you know,
the culture.
Like Voice Resell, the culture. So I understood that, and, you know, I was doing giveaways and just always interacting with people, and that way, like, it kept it active versus, you know, like, obviously now, I haven't sold shoes in over a year.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I were to, like, try to, like, you know, run some sort of promotion or run some sort of shoe deal, it's like, you know, this kid's been dead for a year now. Like, I don't know if anyone's really going to pay attention to what I'm doing. So, yeah, just keeping it, like, very authentic, I think, is a good way to just grow.
I don't even really see anything about this on here. Like shoes?
Not really.
Yeah,
like it's all like, if you need like a brick
StockX.
Here, you're like, yeah, StockX, or it's like,
they killed the market.
I'm just gonna yell at kicks and bricks.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, can you order this in for me?
Yeah. But also, like, when people think like I'm some like shoe guru that like can grab any shoe out of the sky, like they're like, yo, where should I get this shoe? Like,
StockX.
Just go to StockX.
Go.
Like, I'm no, like,
look it up.
I'm no shoe guru that like can literally go out of my way to get a shoe for you when you can go to StockX. So it's like,
railed, bro. You can't find Revenges on. You can't find like,
dude, they took them off.
Few shoes on StockX. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think one powerful thing that I learned like just yesterday, this isn't the exact name, but it was something revolving around a wheel. And basically, the central ideas were,
oh, I saw this. Yeah, yeah.
You have an Instagram, you have a TikTok, you have a YouTube, you have a Twitter. Your Instagram takes off. You promote your Twitter. Your Twitter starts getting more followers. You promote your TikTok. Your TikTok starts getting more followers. You promote your YouTube. It gets hard. It's very hard to make that start spinning and to make your followers and more people start following all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But once it gets rolling,
it's going.
It gets going faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, it's like compound.
And pretty soon you can like cross promote yourself on any single platform, opinion, will all keep growing and all revolving around that.
So like,
that's my
it's
problem
so
right
hard
now.
These days.
Yeah, it's hard to get it going, but if you can get it going, I've had a little success just because of my TikTok with my followers coming to Instagram.
Yeah.
There's not a huge turnover, but there's definitely a turnover. Like, my film account is probably less than, I'd say, actually today might be the 2 month date of when I started it. And it's at 1,431 followers. Yeah. Most of those were from TikTok.
Yeah.
Most of them were from TikTok. I had like 800 followers before I started going blowing up on TikTok, and then it just kept pushing them. Then my main account gets followers, and everything just starts revolving around followers.
Yeah.
And people liking your stuff.
Yeah, so that's why the example he was talking about, it was like, it was with Charlie, right?
Yep.
And so like, that's why Charlie literally can do anything, bro. She has a drink. She literally...
She could capitalize on anything.
Capitalize on literally anything she wants. So I think that's like where like the
end
goal...
She can put her name on these fucking
adapters. Literally, you put her name on any sort of girl product and it will be the number one seller. And so like that's where like, I don't... Yeah, it was like something wheel.
Yeah.
And so like if, you know, you build up like that much...
You just get that momentum going.
You know, that's how Full Send is though. Like,
100%,
like,
that's how Full Send is.
What 16-year-old kid is just gonna buy a normal cigarette pack?
Yeah.
Or like a cigarette holder.
Yeah.
Nobody. But if it has Full Send on it, they're like, oh shit, this is a collectible. I'm taking this.
How many keychain like shotgun tools have you seen that aren't Full Send? Like, I don't think I've ever seen.
I haven't seen
full. Everyone has a Full Send one. Like, I'm sure you could go get those things for like $1.
Have you seen a boot yet? Steve's boot? Have you seen
the
one yet?
The boot?
Have you seen
the glass
one
boot?
Yeah.
Not at a party.
Dude, there's this one at this Boise party. I was like, that's a boot, right? That's a boot.
Yeah.
Full Send on the bottom. I'm like, Steve's boot.
Yeah, it will sell. Like, anything Full Send will sell. And
yeah,
they're capitalizing on that huge.
That
now they
skateboard decks, too.
Yeah,
now
they have, like, winter jackets.
Big,
they have, like, ski jackets.
Oh,
and, like,
I'm definitely going to have to drop a little bit on that.
Yeah, that drop's pretty sick.
It's so gnarly.
But that all comes back to brand value.
Yeah.
So if, for example, if you're a music video producer, you don't want to work with your local SoundCloud rappers if you are trying to build a good career.
Unless
don't get me wrong.
Unless they're heat like Jack Sweezy.
Exactly. You have to start somewhere, and you have to take jobs that you don't want to take sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you have the option, you don't want to be taking a lot of, like no matter what they pay you, you don't really want to be taking some of the lower end rappers, or just like, that's just like an example, because people will eventually look at you as a music video producer for these lower end rappers, and they're not going to treat you like a highly like professional like you probably are.
So yeah, I think that going back on that, it's like basically just understanding everything you do is going to mean like is going to determine your brand value. So you just got to be careful, not more of what you promote your brand as versus just what you do, but in a brand like this, it's very heavily based on
your personal
brand. And exactly. So like, that's why I like, you know, not to put politics and things and all that stuff, just because I'm not trying to ruin my brand value over what people think of, you know, politics stuff. And it's just like, I'm not a political news page. I don't need to be posting information like that.
Because I mean, in a perfect world, everyone respects everyone's political views, but this is not a perfect world.
Far from
it.
No,
it's 2020.
You see someone supporting Biden or Trump, you have an opinion on them from what the media has pushed on you, and if, say, there's a super conservative dad, and he knew one of us was liberal, he's automatically, like, not going to want to probably work with us.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, he's grown
that's how it figures out, you know? And you just have to kind of accept that. So.
Yeah, you just have to put that past you. Like, that's not what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're not.
Think about how you see it. Like, you're scrolling, you see a chick's story. She's like, fuck Trump. He's a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, even with Biden, like, fuck Biden. I'm like, dude, I don't care. I'm just trying to watch scooter videos.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
I
understand, like, why people care about politics, but when you're 16, please stop. Like,
you're high school.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that for another two to four years.
Well, it's not necessarily about worrying about it, because like I feel like if you're a 16-year-old girl,
you're
an attractive girl with a few million Instagram followers.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking about Boise, Idaho girls.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
some 200 with 40 likes on their picture Instagram reels.
They can post whatever they want. It does get annoying. That's where you lose followers.
Yeah. I believe, like, you know, putting out like what you want, but when it becomes toxic, that's just where it's like.
Like, as a brand, you should either be, like, you not, should, like, you shouldn't show anything, or it's either you're strong one side or the other, but then you're going to attract that. Yeah. So it's like.
But with what we're doing, we don't need that.
Well,
no, it's not.
Sure, I'll post. Okay. So I, like, got a lot of shit for when I posted that. Reposted that picture of Steve, you know.
Oh yeah,
so I did so post much shit that. For that, and I didn't say anything political. I just posted it on my story. Yeah. And people sent back to like, "Are you serious? You support Trump? You're an asshole." I'm like, "No,
regardless,
I just posted something."
Regardless of if you support Trump, that was so cool.
Yeah, it was so sick.
And they went on Air Force One.
Even
if it was Biden, they went on stage. I would have reposted the shit out of that.
It's an old white guy.
But yeah, so how'd this start off? Oh, just Instagram, like
growing our brand.
Yeah, growing
brand,
our brand
value.
For me, I've done videos for a while, but I didn't really care too much until like last year when I switched over to making Instagram videos. And I remember my first Instagram video where I learned how to crop it or whatever to like Instagram format.
Yeah.
I think it blew up because it was so new. Like, that was the first time I've done, like, the people that watch my videos go on to YouTube. Like, they know I make videos or whatever, and then, like, the people that actually watch them go on to YouTube.
Yeah.
So when I put that on Instagram, it was a whole new, like, storyboard, basically. And I think it got, like, 5,000 views, which was really good at the time. So, like, I think that was definitely, like, my turning point of, okay, this is what I want to do with videos.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the first video is... I guess the video that got, like, what was it, that blew up? Or that just, like, got, like, whatever, like, you thought was a lot of views or something? I guess was the first video that I ever made for the Eagle football team. Whether people were just watching because it was my first video, or whether people were watching because they liked football, it didn't really matter. It got, like, 3,000 views, and it got, like, 600 likes, and I never had that type of content engagement on my page. And I was like, wow, like, this is kind of huge. And that's just kind of what, like, started, like, me wanting to make videos. But I'd say recently the one video that, like, really sparked it off was one of the first TikToks I posted of Cannon versus Centennial. Like, the guy was talking, it was talking mess all game, and then Cannon caught a touchdown and turned around and made a peace sign out of him. I had House of Highlights, SportsCenter, all these guys were in my DMs. Like, I went to bed, it had, like, 1,000 views, and I woke up at, like, 800,000 views, and I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, this is insane on how fast social media can blow you up or tear you down. It is insane.
Yeah.
But that's kind of just, like, my recent, like, success is just from there.
But, like,
yeah, like, since I do more, like, my videos are more for, like, business. I want to be making more videos, like, you know, like, kind of you guys. But then there's some point where, like, the money is just there.
When
so
you're
it's like you
paid
can't.
So much, yeah.
But the videos that kind of took off were my real estate ones, honestly, because.
Yeah, I remember. That's kind of almost what made me do, like, want to do real estate. And, like, I saw, like, the energy that you had with the real estate. I was like.
I put my twist on,
like
the
that,
modern feel. There's these two real estate agents in Seattle, the Bautista twins, and.
Yeah,
they have a videographer. Do you know them?
I've seen their Instagram.
Yes, they have, like, their videographers. Like, they really inspired me to do the real estate because those videos are so sick.
Yeah.
And so I would go through, do the houses. I was doing a house, like, every 2 weeks, which is pretty good, like, consistently for, like, a couple months. And then, I don't know, it just kind of just dwindled off because I wasn't, like, the beginning where I was really going at it, but... I just enjoyed it because it was something cool. Like, houses are dope. Like, dope houses are cool.
Exactly.
So I would take those cool houses and just put, like, a cool beat on there.
That's what I like about your videos. Like, your real estate videos, it's like...
They're so smooth.
They're so nice. Like, it just makes me want to go out, drop $3 million on a brand new house and, like, make a video of it. Just
that's exactly what people want from those.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, I think...
Like, that makes me want to buy a house.
Yeah, I think one thing with your videos, it's like... They're super simple and clean, but they have, like, this kick to it that, like, is, like, styling.
Yeah.
Oh. It's not, like, there's no flashing or anything crazy. It's just a nice, like, modern kick to it. That
and it can appeal to, like, the older generation, too.
And us, too. Like,
those gimbal shots, too. You've got finesse with that. Yeah. Like, you get the right person at gimbal.
Nice
gimbal.
Yeah, after a long shoot, bro.
I'm trying to get the R2.
Mm. The R2?
But remember when we were trying to get that one shot in the gym with Allie?
Yes.
And so basically it was a circle. And then Riley and I were in charge of the gimbal. But in order for us to all be in this shot, Riley and I had to switch, like, you know, he would be on the gimbal, he gives the gimbal to me,
run and go get it,
and he gets in the shot.
I'd run and get, yeah.
And so we're trying to do this, but Allie can't catch the basketball. Right?
Allie, if you're listening,
just send me that.
In the bathroom.
D's gone.
Oh. Scan's still there.
And so it's like, that's when I was like, oh, Riley's nice with the gimbal, because we're like trying to like, we're handing it off, like, in the shot, like a live shot.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Had to throw a transition in there just because it wasn't as smooth as we wanted, but it was
first. Like, all right, Allie, if you're going to catch the basketball, you're going to throw the basketball. Mm-hmm. We're over here trying to do it all, too.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, get the shot right. And all Allie had was one job.
Because it was like...
She couldn't catch it?
No.
It was like Allie, someone else, and then... Well, no, it was like... I think we started with you.
Yeah,
with
I
know. Ryan, and then, like, right when we got to this part of the circle... Ryan took it, and I, like, backed up, lifted the basketball, and then I, like, pushed it in, but...
And then once Allie learned how to catch it, she couldn't throw it, and we're like, Allie, the
person... And, it wasn't in sync.
Yeah.
She would, like, throw it too fast or too slow.
Yeah.
That's just one of those things where you need a designated filmer for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good old Bearcast days.
Yeah.
I think having a class like that, it was really, like, for me, like, super big, because... Not only was it just a lot of time for me to, like, get stuff done, it was, like, a creative, like, environment. Like, having you, Tony, Mitchell.
And it was almost, like, a break from our normal.
Yeah. It was, like, cool. Like, and it was first period, so, like, going in there, I was, like, this is my, like, MediaX was, like, my job, basically.
Yeah.
We barely did, like, the Bearcast.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, we did it in, like, 15 minutes.
What Tony was in there?
Huh?
What, Tony?
Yeah.
Tony O Productions, you don't know?
Okay, yeah. That's what I was seeing, because...
Tony actually has some sick videos.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like... You came out of there. Riley came out of there. Tony, didn't Jake too?
Pashone created.
Yeah, Pashone. Yeah, I was like,
now he's in college.
You guys are all coming out with like some pretty gnarly content.
If you think about it, and I would say it, like, you know, Jake literally learned how to edit in that class.
In that class,
I used to edit for him.
He bought your camera.
Yeah.
Right.
No, Mitchell did.
Oh,
Mitchell bought my A7S.
Where did Jake get his? Did he just order?
He got it on Facebook.
Oh, gotcha. Mitchell bought yours.
But it was like that class was like. I think, so the topic should be is the environment that you're in and, like, that creative, we're in a super creative environment, which allowed us to, you know, just be so productive, and I don't know, it was enjoyable, like, I enjoyed going into the studio and just
working.
These ideas.
Just chilling.
Like, it was crazy seeing Jake, like, literally go from me having to edit for him.
We watched that.
To him literally, like, telling us all these new things that he's doing. I'm like,
and editing some live videos.
Yeah, he started to edit for you. That's cool.
I wish I would have got into that. I took video tech 1 my junior year. I think it was last year. Yeah, I took video tech 1 my junior year. And even then, like, I just started off, like, filming football stuff. And, like, it was a fun class. I mean, I got Premiere for free. I think that was the huge thing. But it was fun just going into that class and just getting to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always nice having a section like that, or just anywhere, somewhere in your life where you can go sit down and you know, this is the place I work. This is the place I need to be creative.
Yeah. School, like, kills your creativity.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I got
it. You're at school and you're like,
school doesn't teach you to be creative.
I have to get all this done, and then when I get home, like, some kids have to work or some kids have to do homework. By then, it's going to be, like, 10 at night, and you're exhausted.
Like, that's why, like...
There's no time for...
So, our studio was, like, all dark with these, like, super sick LED lights everywhere, and, like,
platforms. Made it, like, a friendly...
Yeah, platforms, all glass windows. It was, like, super sick. So, like, I think that was honestly one of the bigger things, because if it was just a classroom, like walking in from the classroom to the studio...
Yeah,
that's kind of, like, when you know, like, okay, set the computer down, and you just work, and, like, get things done.
We just have a desk that we set up in random.
It was a desk for us too.
I'm slowly, cause I'm like homeschooled next semester. Cause
school's stupid right now.
No, it's not even school. It's just Centennial, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna like, hopefully use a homie's Addy. Transfer.
Dude, good luck. The amount of kids that try to get in.
You're right.
Yeah.
But like my academic stuff isn't bad either.
Yeah.
So like I hope they look at that and take that into consideration too. Like, at least this kid's not just wasting time here.
It's hard to film for Centennial, so, like, you guys don't win.
We don't win shit. That's why I took, that's why I'm filming cars now, so I can get a foot in the door to where it's like, okay, so obviously we're not doing sports, but I still have something to lean back on.
Yeah,
like, that's probably what's going to happen too.
I can't imagine, like, you trying to make a video for Centennial football. So.
No, yeah. I'm sorry to anybody that's listening from Centennial.
I'm not, salty as hell.
But I'm sorry. It's not the move at all. Like, I've considered, like, talking to Mountain View people. And,
you,
like,
guys,
yo, hook
Centennial,
me
up. If you're listening, you should thank me. I got you, like, 4 million social media.
Yeah.
Of them getting dusted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit on.
Regardless, you still got.
Do you know if Mountain View has, like, someone that films there?
Jeremy, yeah.
Totally video.
He's an OG.
Is he crazy now? Like, is he nice?
He's got a loyalty. He's got a loyalty with Mountain View that you'll not reach.
When I tried to film for Mountain View this year, when Eagle wanted me.
Yeah.
And all the players wanted me too, but the coach was like, sorry, we got a video guy. And I was like, what's the problem with him too then? I guess COVID was the problem with
him. Yeah, COVID's kind of the problem.
But yeah, I mean, he does a nice job. It's not really the same work we do.
Dude, the intro is like 8 minutes long.
Just what, like, drone shots?
A lot of drone shots. I mean, they're cool videos,
I know. Yeah, I respect drone shots, but it's like, you're not getting to what everybody wants to see. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to see bird's eye view of the field for 5 minutes.
That's maybe like 10 seconds, or like 5 seconds.
Yeah, even 10,
bro,
yeah.
Drone shots, you got to be quick.
Yeah. Once I get out of high school, I was thinking about travel videos, too.
Traveling?
Yeah, like,
I'm
travel agencies.
I'm doing a lot of that this summer.
Yeah.
After, you can make... That's a fat link too.
Yeah.
Because all these, like, travel agencies, you put out content for them and it's good, people see it and they're like, yo, I wanna make reservations with these people so I can go out with them, and then you're
right,
making
a little
bank.
Tough though.
Yeah.
Like, this next summer I'm going to Africa. Me and Ryan are trying to plan a trip to either, like, Cabo, Mexico, or, like, Bali and Thailand.
Bali.
I think that'd be, like,
Thailand's something. Nice.
Like, I think the dream would be to get paid to go around travel and make videos.
That's
like,
what I want to
sure.
do. Like,
everyone
I wanna,
knows that.
I somehow, I don't know how I'm going to execute it, but I want to be noticed by Red Bull or Oakley.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I just travel with everybody. It's the skydiving team.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Alright. We'll carry this on in the next episode.
See ya.